The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all in the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever thought about what it is that God dreams about? I picture God has some pretty big dreams. And we get a little glimpse of some of those dreams in our readings for today. Our first lesson from Isaiah, chapter 11. "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse." How often we've heard those words during the season of Advent. And some of our favorite Advent and Christmas hymns actually have reference to that. "Lo, how a rose are growing." What we don't realize is the chapter before this. Read this when you go home, folks. Is a chapter about God warning the people that if they don't turn back to him, he's going to clear cut the forest. Maybe not God, but they're going to get conquered. It was a prophecy, it was a warning, and it did come true. And so this next chapter, chapter 11, is reminiscing about that clear-cut forest. And God has a promise. And God says, "A shoot shall come out of a stump. A shoot shall come out of a stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." So out of the clear-cut ruins of ancient Israel, who had turned away from God, God remembered them. Who is this shoot, this branch, this new hope? It's Jesus. You know this prayer as well. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. That's the baptismal prayer. That's the prayer at affirmation of baptism. When our ninth graders are confirmed, or when new adults join the church, these are our prayers for you, that the Spirit of Jesus and those seven attributes will rest on you. These are God's dreams. A shoot shall come out. You ever watched Guardians of the Galaxy? Funny movie. It's been so long since I've seen it, but I remember this image about this tree sort of creature that has this regenerative capability. So if he reaches out his arm and it gets cut off, it grows back, And finally, there's this final battle, and this tree creature saves all of the rest of the guardians, but in doing so is destroyed. And his best friend is just crushed. And the very last scene, his best friend has stuck a little branch into a flower pot. And it's nothing until it starts growing. It has regenerated. It has resurrected. And in the credits, this little tree is just dancing. Is that not our resurrection hope in Jesus Christ? That when things look dark and we think that Babylon has taken over, that the resurrection power of Jesus has already spoken. You remember when God went outside with Abraham under the clear blue sky, clear dark blue sky because it was night, and God said, "Hey Abraham, look at those stars. You're going to have descendants like that, and they're going to be a blessing to all nations." And Abraham said, "Okay," and waited. And waited and waited and waited with his wife Sarah. And finally, this old couple is changing diapers well into their senior years, but they're only changing the diapers on one little baby boy. How is it we're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars? They were conduits of the promise. They weren't the fulfillment of the promise. Throughout Christian history, throughout all of God's faithfulness, there's been this concept of already but not yet. We know that God is sovereign. We know that Jesus wins in the end. We know that Christ is present here and now. But we don't see the end of the picture. But what we are is people of the promise, people of the hope of Jesus Christ. What things do you think God dreams about? We turn to Romans, to the next reading, where Paul says, "Welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Christ has welcomed you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Us. And he makes that point even further. And take a look at your lesson from Romans 15. If you were Baptists, I'd have you pull out your Bibles. Romans 15, that second column. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Now, as I read this again, I'm going to replace the word Gentiles with people who don't know God. Because that's what Gentiles were. We've been around this language for so long as Christians, we think, well, Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles. But no. All the people around Paul looked at Gentiles and they went, ew. They don't know God. They're heathen. They're sinners. So here we go again. Therefore, I will confess you among the people who don't know God and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O people who don't know God, with God's people. And again, praise the Lord, all you people who don't know God, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the people who don't know God. In him, the people who don't know God shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see God's dream? God wants the people who don't know God to know God. Isaiah talked more. Talked about a peaceable kingdom with these beautiful Advent themes. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. It's talking about natural enemies finding peace with one another. I sit in a big recliner at the end of the evening. It's got a little heat, little massage. They're on sale at Menards. And at the end of the evening, my cat has jumped in my lap for as long as we've had this cat. Cat likes this time. Well, our newest dog is number four. We don't have any newer one than number four. Also likes to jump in my lap. Now, this newest dog and this cat chase each other around the house like Tom and Jerry all day long. Cat usually wins. But at the end of the day, cat's sitting snuggled up under my arm, and the dog is sitting on my lap. And I thought, wow, this is that vision of the peaceable kingdom. Everybody coming home for a good cuddle. Beating weapons of war into garden tools. God's vision. God's dream. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And finally, from our gospel, John. People must have thought he was crazy. Dressed in animal skins and eating locusts
but he sweetened him up with wild honey. Strange guy. And he was always yelling, "Repent! Repent!" But I don't think he was doing it like the TV evangelists do. Because he knew God's kingdom was coming. Jesus was coming. And he's crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Repent." As we know, is literally about turning around. Prepare the way of the Lord. Turn away from those things that you know are not part of God's dream. And turn toward the one who is coming. Isn't that the hope of Advent? That as Jesus comes in our midst, we will recognize him. And one of the ways we recognize him is by knowing from Scripture what it is that God dreams about. God dreams that the whole world would understand the way of Jesus. The love, the peace, the justice. We participate in God's dream. Because God's dream most likely includes that little children don't go cold. We participate in God's dream because we're pretty sure God doesn't want our neighbors to be hungry. We participate in God's dream when we participate in ministries like our partnership with LSSI, that children who need adoption find homes, or single parents find support, or that those recovering from addictions get their support. Think about, in this Advent season, those things that you think pretty much God dreams about. You don't have to guess. It's all in Scripture. And repent. Repent isn't a bad word. It's a refocusing. It's a turning toward what is true and what is right. Mostly it's about turning to prepare for the way of the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and let us work with you and joyfully anticipate your coming. Amen.